think it's something that we can always study. I think she has a lot that we can learn from. Number one, where did Elimelech and his wife Naomi and his sons go to escape the famine in their homeland, Bethlehem, Judah?
Moab.
Okay, they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Does anybody know about how far it was that they had to travel? Well, this information that I got said that it was about 100 miles, and it would have taken them about a week to get there.
That's a lot of walking in a week.
That's a lot of walking in 1 week. That's right. That's right. But there was a famine there, and they didn't have any choice but to go if they wanted to eat, I guess. What happened?
I did not remember that they came from Bethlehem at the very old city.
Yes, it's a very old city. And this that I was looking at, it says that there's only about 200 people there. So it was a very small town at this time. I don't know how much it was by the time Jesus was born. But they say in this that it was about 200 miles. 200 people, sorry. What happened to Elimelech and his two sons? Pat.
Well, Elimelech died, and then the sons married, and then about 10 years later they died.
Yes, they all died. So what was going to happen to Naomi at this time? If she goes back to Israel, and does anybody know about when this all happened?
Well, it's during the time of the judges.
Right. So the information that I have that it was they were contemporaries of Jephthah and Samson, so it was kind of toward the end of the judges.
That was some of the worst times.
Mm-hmm.
Godly people in Israel.
Yes. So, once that they had all died, what did Naomi decide to do?
She wanted to go back to Bethlehem.
She decided to go back. And she was going to leave both of her daughters-in-law there to live with their mothers. The information that I have said that she instructed them to go to their mother's house, which meant that they would have the ability to remarry.
Sally, that struck me as interesting too, that she sent them back to their mother's house. Because you don't see that in the Bible a lot. It obviously, it's talking about somebody's household as the father's house.
That's what you're right. That's true. And the reason for that was, what I found was that when she told them to go back and live with their mothers, usually the place of protection is the father's house rather than the mother's. Ruth 2:11 implies that Ruth's father is still alive. In its other appearances in the Old Testament, the mother's house has to do with preparations for marriage. This corresponds to the situation in both Mesopotamia and Egypt, where the mother was for the protector of the daughter, and the one who advised and supervised in matters of love, marriage, and sex. Therefore, Naomi's encouragement of the girls to return to their mother's home does not suggest seeking a place of legal protection, but rather a place that may provide a new family situation, which I thought was very interesting.
Now, it does say there in somewhere it says go find a new husband.
Right.
Get a new husband.
And that's basically what this says. That was what those instructions were about. Lauren?
What was interesting about it is that she didn't seem to be at this point concerned about the fact that she was going to go back probably to worshiping the idols of their, you know, I mean, she even said that in verse,
yep.
in verse 16. Do not urge me to leave you or to turn, oh no, I'm sorry.
You're
God, you're
my God.
I know, but when Naomi is talking to them, she says, go back to your families and to your God. Yeah. Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Why would you say that?
I think that Naomi was very concerned about what her future was going to be like. Because what I read that whenever they, when you have no sons and no husband, you're basically at loose and you have no way of thinking that anything good is going to happen to you.
Well, that's obvious in her, like what she says through this next couple of verses. So she's just, it's very, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I mean, and there are several verses in here where she's just like,
She's like,
I don't know what else is going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. She was totally, and the fact that they changed her name when she got back, that also was part of it. So we talked about number four. Naomi instructed her daughters-in-law to return to their mother's house. Which of her daughters-in-law stayed in Moab, and which one went back with her to Judah? Lauren? She said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So Ruth apparently had devotion to Ruth. I mean, to Naomi to start with, and she didn't want to leave her.
And in the beginning, they both wanted to go with her.
Yes.
Even the other, but easily convinced.
Yes.
I don't know how it took, but still shows that. I agree. I don't know how bad your travel was back then, but I think that's something for two women to undertake a journey of 100 miles. That's true.
They
did the same thing about it that they did. They got there. There may have been some things that I don't know, but I think it's kind of remarkable that they did that.
I think that is an indication of how bad that Naomi wanted to get back.
How
badly she wanted to get back. This knowing that this.
She's going, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
I wonder if it is because of her faith. Her faith is in a very low F. God said this to me.
Yes.
But she knows how Israel's supposed to work. And that she should have someone there who would take care of her now that she's alone. As long as she had a husband and sons, that was their responsibility. And again, her husband chose to leave. But I wonder if that could be part of it. And she knew if she could get back there. She did hear that there was food there. You know,
yes.
At least she would be able to eat. And that she knew that somebody there would see that she was taking care of.
But apparently she had no other relatives that would take care of her.
Well, they had close relatives, just like Boaz, to redeem them.
Right.
Like he did with Ruth. But if she had no sons or anyone, and it doesn't say he's her brother, he just said he's a close relative.
Yeah.
If there was somebody closer than him, he would have refused the right.
But she knew she was going to be dependent on somebody.
What instructions did Boaz instruct his young men regarding youth, Ruth?
Let her glean among the sheaves and do not disturb them. And then to even pull out some of the sheaves and leave
So he was taking real good care of her.
Yeah. I also told him not to touch her.
Yes. Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Let's look at Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24:19-22. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thine field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thine vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. So this was a law that was given by God to the Israelites to leave stuff in the fields for the people who didn't have no way to get food any other way. And so that's part of this is part of the instructions that Boaz gave his young man, but he went further and leave more for her than what the law said. Okay. No, she didn't. Yes. She was a good woman, no doubt about it. What did Naomi think about Boaz's instructions? She was very thankful for him. And Ruth gave instructions to Ruth as to how she should act, make sure that nothing bad was going to happen. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean and unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So Boaz is very impressed with Ruth, and he decides he's going to buy a bunch of stuff. So let's look at Ruth 4, 3 through 8.
4 what?
3 through 8.
Interesting to me that Ruth is not a Jew.
Yes.
But yet she is willing to listen to her mother-in-law. And to me, this can show that, you know, today it's a joke. She's her mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law and our mother-in-law don't get along. And I don't understand why that has to be. I mean, with Christians, I don't see it nearly as much as I do
right.
In the world, but even sometimes in people who are all claiming to be Christians, the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, it's always a competition.
Yes.
Rather than taking care of each other, it's a competition. And it should not be that way. I think Ruth is a good indication of that, because she must have known some of the customs, because she was married to her husband 10 years before he died. And so she learned some things from him. But then she evidently learned a lot and respected Naomi very much to listen to her and to go and do as she instructed, not just like, "Hey, I got to take care of us and I'm going to do it my way." She did it.
She followed the instructions.
Yeah, she followed the tradition and the law that God had put in place.
And she continued to do that after Boaz had told her to glean in the field and Naomi told her to go lay down at the foot of his bed. I mean, she has to thought, okay, that's weird. But whatever you say, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And she brought her, you know, even more to attention and made him realize that he had an obligation.
So And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, that it is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. So Boaz is putting this for the in front of the elders. And he knows that there's going to be somebody else that wants to buy this land. And so he's putting it in front of the people, and he wants to make sure that it happens correctly. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Okay, so the guy who's in front of Boaz says, I'm going to buy this. But Boaz reminds him, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem, though, my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Okay, so this is kind of a trick that Boaz played. He wanted to make sure that he wasn't as concerned about the land as he was concerned about making sure that he gets Ruth. So when the guy says, I want to buy the land, then Boaz says, well, there's also something else involved here, is Ruth. And the guy, from what I've read, he was also, this guy was already married, so he didn't want to have to deal with Ruth and Naomi and the whole bunch. So this is how Boaz got around that.
And Boaz was already taken with her because he noticed her immediately when she showed up in the field.
Exactly.
And when she lay down to his bed, he told her that he had noticed that she did not go after the young men.
Yes.
That she was doing what evidently was the custom. And in trying to take care of her mother-in-law, even though she wasn't a Hebrew, and I think he really wanted her.
I think so.
He had to go through the channels.
Yeah, he had to make sure it was done just right to make sure that he got what he got. He was very smart. One of the things that I looked at, the description of Boaz in some of the in one place it talked about him as being traditionally in chapter 2 and verse 1 traditionally translators have identified Boaz as a valiant warrior. But the NIV, a man of standing, is probably a better choice. One's prominence could be achieved through military prowess, but many of the people described by this phrase have no known military reputation. It is likely that the phrase has broader application. So he was probably had a lot of...
what does your translation say?
3:1. I think that's probably a good.
Although ASV says a mighty man of wealth.
Well, the King James says a mighty man of wealth. And I think that's probably true.
Referring to being a warrior?
Yep. I don't know where they got that.
The New American Standard says, for a mighty valiant man.
It's interesting. It doesn't say if you're like, why or why.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Nowhere does it say if he was already married or not. But I think we tend to think that he was not married. Okay, so who was Ruth's first baby?
Obed.
And who was his great-grandson?
David.
Okay, so her Ruth's first baby was Obed, and his son was Jesse, and his son was David. So this particular book, I think, was given us as an example of all the good things that can come to us, even if things look terrible. And to Ruth and to Naomi, things did look bad when they came back. And it just, everything just fell into place. And I think it was God's will that it did. Ruth did what she was told, and Naomi was very happy at the end.
It shows the providence of God.
Yes, absolutely.
Naomi left, she had a husband and two sons, and she all of a sudden was alone. She had this one daughter-in-law who loved her and was willing to do whatever, sacrifice whatever it was to take care of her. And she was blessed to be then in the lineage of Christ. It's interesting that there are two women who are not Jews that are in the lineage of Christ.
And she was one of them. This is a good example for us.
Sometimes when we think we just don't know how things are going to work out, it will just wait. We're in a hurry. We always want it right now. But Naomi, in some way, I think when she started to go back, she was tired. She just wanted things to be. She wanted to be back to familiar, and she knew God would take care of her there. But she didn't realize that He was taking care of her through Ruth already. And that Ruth was really how she was brought back to a woman of happiness and standing in her community.
One place that I read said that one of the theories was that Naomi actually adopted Obed, but I couldn't find anything in the Bible that said that.
Where did you find the close relative was already had a wife? Did I miss that somewhere? Or is that just a tradition?
I think it was in a commentary that I read.
Well, it's interesting that just that he was ruining his own inheritance or jeopardizing. Mark says literally ruining.
That wouldn't have any effect on her, or his wife wouldn't have any effect.
No.
I actually knew that the close relative already had a wife.
And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. That was, that's what the King James says.
The New American Standard said I would jeopardize, or in the margin it said, literally ruin inheritance. So I don't know. Whatever it was, he had some reason
he didn't. Well, one thing, he would had to have agreed to take care of Naomi in addition to Ruth. And I think it's possible that he didn't want to have to deal with that.
Well, along with that came responsibility. Buying land is one thing.
Yeah.
You're in control, there's nothing. You do with it what you want to. But somehow it said it would ruin his own inheritance, so I don't know what that meant. I don't remember anything in the old law that would in any way jeopardize whatever inheritance he would have.
Well, part of that was that, let me see if I can get this right. did they not have to responsible for, when he takes, if he were to take Ruth,
he got Naomi too.
He got Naomi, but he would also have had to Ruth's first child would have to go to,
her first husband.
Her first, exactly. And I think that was,
because they raised that seed so that that lineage wouldn't die.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that the land is went to Ruth's first child.
Yes.
Instead of staying in Boaz's lineage.
Yes. And Boaz knew this. He knew going in. I agree. I think he had enough money. He didn't have to worry about that. But I just love the story of Ruth.
They did not want their lineages to die out. I mean, Moses, there was a complaint because there was, which tribe it was, all there was women. And that, well, what's going to happen to us? We don't want our, and so they had to marry within their own tribe if they wanted to keep their land. They had to marry within their own tribe.
But I think this is a good lesson for us. Number one, how good Ruth was and how she managed to get things done, and also the story of David.
I think it's also another good lesson that Naomi lived in bad times. When you only read the book of Judges, especially toward the end, it was just
terrible.
There was nothing good there for them. And yet, there were good people there. We see that with no matter how bad things are, there are good, some good people. Boaz lived in the same time, and yet he evidently was serving God. He was seeking to do it the right way. He didn't just go and say, oh, yeah, Ruth, I'll thank you. I'll get all your land. You know, yeah, I'll go in your son's name, but, you know, look at me. I look good.
Yeah.
That way, he wanted to do it, but he wanted to do it the right way. And if the other man would have taken it, he would have walked away.
He didn't want to.
No, he didn't want to, but in God's providence, that didn't happen. But he could have easily just taken it and said, oh, you know, well, I didn't realize that, and I didn't figure you wanted it anyway. He did it the right way. So there are good people, even when times are bad, even when sin is rampant. And that's what we need to realize. We can be a light in the world.
Yes, absolutely.
No matter how bad it is, we can do what's right, no matter what it costs us.
Well, I know this is a short lesson, but I thought this was worth looking at.
This is your first time.
But I taught this class once before, but it's been a long time.
I'm just glad to do it.
Thank you. I was glad to do it.